month, the podcast is sponsored by Book Recos.
We've taken the slot to promote our brand new website and email newsletter.
Instagram is a very busy place and we don't want anyone missing out on a top reco. So our monthly newsletter recaps some of our favorite reads of the month, our podcast episodes and author interviews, as well as some of the brands we've worked with and the products we've loved, so that we can share those all important discount codes with you guys.
You're welcome. Just head to www.bookrecos.com to sign up to the newsletter. You'll then receive an email asking you to confirm your subscription. So keep an eye out for that. And of course, everyone subscribed to the newsletter will be the first to find out about lots of exciting projects like the reading retreat.
Our jazzy new website also has a blog. We'll be using this space to recap places we've been, books we've read, topics we're interested in, and just any recos we think you guys might be a fan of.
So that's www.bookrecos.com to sign up. Welcome to Book Recos Between the Pages.
I'm Jess.
And I'm Lauren.
And we're the pals behind Book Recos.
This is the podcast where we chat all things books and just about everything in between.
And today, on the day we are publishing this episode, the winner of the Women's Prize 2022 will be announced. So we're going to discuss the shortlist today.
We tag teamed the list and have lots of thoughts. So we're going to make our predictions for the winner today too, and potentially make fools of ourselves. When in a few hours' time of this episode going live, the actual winner is announced.
Lauren!
Jess!
Do you want to tell everyone where we are?
We are at Fat Pheasant in Oxford, staying in some delightful, if I do say so, shepherd huts.
Yes, very cute. They are completely secluded from each other, so we're the only people around, so we could make this podcast as loudly as we wanted, really. And our one has a very cute pink outdoor bathtub.
Oh my God, it's so Instagrammable. Like, the whole thing is Instagrammable. And I have noticed that the theme of this room is pink and green. And I think Jo knew when she gave us this room. It's a very romantic getaway, isn't it?
It's very romantic, Laura. It's great views.
And speaking of romance, see what I did there? Jess very had some very exciting romantic news this week.
Yes, I got engaged after a very long time. And as you'll listen, firstly, thank you to everyone that commented on our Instagram and DM'd us and stuff. It was very nice.
I was living vicariously to all of the comments.
So I texted Lauren just a picture being like, got a new accessory for butt pics. And she immediately FaceTimed me. But at the time I was FaceTiming, oh my God, my new mother-in-law. That's crazy.
Oh my God.
Ooh.
It's going to take some getting used to.
Yeah. And then I called Lauren back.
Yeah.
We chatted, and her first thing was like, so when is it? Well, obviously I did
know. We've got a date. We've got a date.
She knows me well. So yeah, that's exciting things. So now I get to go on a romantic get-away. So I got home from holiday, had a day at home, and then...
And then you're on a honeymoon with me. I'm part of this relationship, I have you know. Right, so shall we get into it? We've got our wines.
We're on the wine.
It's a bit of a disclaimer for there.
Yeah, it's always best to just let people know up top.
What? I've just remembered we were on the wines for our last Women's Prize episode. Do you remember?
Were we?
Yeah.
Oh, God, was that one of shambles? It probably will be.
I mean, it got louder and louder
also,
as the episode went on.
We're usually on the wines.
Yeah, no.
So yeah, you could say that for any episode.
But the past few, because we both, I feel like a broken record, because we've both been so busy recently.
In our second ever episode that people who are so busy shouldn't have time to talk about how busy they are, and then we've done it for months now.
Yeah, yeah, totally. I hate myself for saying it, but the last few, I've just been drinking coffee, so it's quite nice.
It's quite nice.
It's quite nice.
Yeah. Right, let's get to it, and I'm going to suggest that we start with the one that we have both read.
The only one we've both read.
What did I say? Just the one we've both read. Yeah, literally the only one from this list. We've got all our copies here. which is exciting for us. We don't usually do that. So would you like to drop the synopsis of Sorrow and Bliss by Meg Mason?
All right.
Here's the book.
Thank you. Everyone tells Martha Friel she's clever and beautiful, a brilliant writer who's been loved every day of her adult life by one man, her husband, Patrick. So why is everything broken? Maybe Martha is just someone who finds it harder to be alive than most people, or maybe, as she has long believed, there is something wrong with her. Forced to return to her childhood home to live with her dysfunctional bohemian parents, but without the help of her devoted foul-mouthed sister Ingrid, Martha has one last chance to find out whether a life is ever too broken to fix, or whether maybe, by starting over, she will get to write a better ending for herself.
Good synop.
Good synop.
So, Lauren read this when it was a hardback.
I did.
I'm very near the beginning of it being a hardback. I think you were one of the...
I discovered this book.
I mean, I didn't hear about it until you read it.
Yeah. And just to say, two of your Bezzy mates are on the back. Anne Patchett and Elizabeth Day.
I'm a Bezzy mate. And you've read it too. And you gave it as a reco. Anyway, so I had to read it when Pandora Sykes chose it as her book of the month for Pandora's books. Lauren, what's our discount code?
Reco's 10.
For 10% off at pandorasbooks.co.uk. Look at that. So this was the first ever. So as we've said a few times, with this subscription, you either get to watch an interview online on Fane, or they do an in-person event. And this was her first ever in-person event with Meg Mason. And hearing the hilarious Meg talk about this book, I was like, well, I need to fucking read it.
Isn't she brilliant?
She was so good. So good. Everything she said was
so much fun.
Or insightful.
So much fun.
I would love to be funny and insightful. Literally, like, she was... So I also listened to the whole discussion having not read it.
Yeah, you did, didn't you?
And it didn't ruin anything. They were like, oh, this is a bit of a spoiler to say. And I was like, I went into it being like, not a spoiler.
Well, yeah, because I guess the whole premise of the book is that the main character, Martha, she describes this moment when she's very young. I think she's in like her dad's office or something. And she describes this feeling of like a bomb going off in her head and how her life was never the same after 17. That moment. When she was really young. And it's all about her experience living with a
mental illness,
but you never find out what the mental illness is.
And even hearing her talk about that was really interesting. She was like, you know, even if I said what the mental illness was, everyone has a different experience of that.
Yeah.
So it was just easier to be like...
It's not being named.
It's what it is.
Yeah.
I liked that. And
she said it's actually like quite dangerous if she were to put a name on it. Because she said, I didn't want to then make people who have this certain illness then think that they should also have these symptoms.
Yeah.
And if they don't have these symptoms, then...
Or self-diagnose.
Yeah, exactly.
If they have the symptoms. Yeah. So I didn't know anything about the characters, but I learned about her husband. Is it Patrick?
Patrick,
And, you know, she was sort of saying, everyone really loves Patrick and, like, are really rooting for Patrick. And Pandora was like, yeah, I am too. And she was like, but what you're all missing is that Patrick... is a dud. Like, he has no personality of his own. That's why he's so happy to be walked all over by Martha.
So interesting, isn't it, when she said that? Because you're right. You can't, like, when you're in the book and you don't really know the characters, you're like, you're rooting for him. But then as soon as you take a step back, you're like, hold on a minute. This guy is, like, a fucking...
Yeah. So, because I'd heard Meg say that, I went into it like,
oh, Patrick. Classic Patrick.
And also, like, things that she said about her father and her sister. And she said this such interesting thing, which, again, having heard Meg say it and then reading the whole book, that her sister...
Ingrid.
Thank you. I had forgotten.
Not like me.
No. What's happened here? Firstly, it had to be her sister who was her, like, cheerleader or whatever. Because if she was that horrible to her friend, her friend would just leave. But because it's your blood, you can't. Yeah. And she said how the Ingrid's life is basically what... what the main character called?
Martha.
I was going to say Meg. Is what Martha's life
would have or could have been without the mental illness. So she purposely gave her lots of children and all these other things to sort of mirror how her life could have been.
Totally. And also it's interesting how, like, Martha at the start of the book, she doesn't want children.
Yeah.
And she goes out of her way to make sure she doesn't have children. And then there's a moment in the book. Is it a spoiler?
I think it's a spoiler.
Okay, I'm gonna stop right there.
But yeah, I mean, you've probably already at this point. And it's not the main plot point.
No, it's not at all. It's a very small part of the plot, isn't it? And I think that's why, to what we were saying earlier, there is no sort of spoiler for this book because it is just it's an extract of this woman's life, and you start to, you just sort of experience how her experience with a mental health condition, you know, affects her life.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so good. I'm not surprised at all that it's in the Women's Prize list.
No. And it's, I mean, especially with Pandora as a judge. And I feel like Pandora Sykes was responsible for quite a few that were on the long list.
Yeah.
Because there was also Paper Palace and Careless. And kind of similar feeling books.
Yeah, they were.
You know, a lot of the time they can be like really big, scary pieces of literature.
Oh my God. And unreachable to a lot of people. I mean, don't get me wrong, when I read this book, I felt a bit numb when I finished. And I have said that before. Yeah. Because I just think it is very realistic in its portrayal. You know, it's not sugarcoating any of the issues in the book, is it? It's quite bleak. But I think it's amazing that it is bleak and it is a bit numbing.
Yeah. Unsurprising that it's there.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
And so pleased that was the first in-person event because we had such a good night.
Oh, yeah.
It was so
fun. And we made friends with those girls behind us, didn't we?
Yes. It was just a room full of people like us.
It was so great. Honestly, we got interviewed that night as well for the video.
God, when are they going to show that?
I really hope they don't.
Moving on.
Moving swiftly on.
So I'm going to go next.
Go for it.
I'm going to talk about a book that I would not have read if it wasn't on the Women's Press shortlist. Okay, and if we weren't tackling the list, I wouldn't have still read it because it's chunky. It's like over 500 pages. And it came at, as it often does, it came at a time when I was doing lots of long journeys.
Okay.
I drove to Newbury and then on to Somerset. And then from Somerset to home, and then I did a few more long drives. So I was like, right, we're gonna tackle this in audio form. It was on BorrowBox, so I didn't even have to pay for it.
Lovely.
And it is The Book of Form and Emptiness by Ruth Odzecki. And I was not expecting to like it as much as I did, because listen to this. Actually, no, the synopsis sounds good. After the tragic death of his father, 13-year-old Benny O begins to hear voices. The voices belong to things in his house and sound variously present, angry or sad. Then his mother develops a hoarding problem and the voices grow more clamorous. So Benny seeks refuge in the silence of a large public library. There he meets a mesmerizing street artist with a smug pet ferret, a homeless philosopher poet and his very own book, who narrates Benny's life and teaches him to listen to the things that truly matter. And I would not have enjoyed this as much if I read it, and I know that for a fact.
Really? Why? Yeah.
So, the voices in Benny's head.
Yeah. Did they have different voices in the audio? Yeah,
like he put on this sort of like angry, aggressive, like almost like exactly how I would picture like a slightly devilish voice in your head to sound.
Yes.
And it really brought it to life. And I think it was very
clever. My God,
clever.
It's very small writing as well. God.
Yeah. And the... This actually, I remember saying this to you, and you're like, "What do you mean?" But it's narrated by a book.
What do you mean?
See, and you were like, "But what do you mean?" I was like, "Well, like the book is the narrator," and you were like, "What?" And again, I think listening to it, he puts on like quite a formal voice when it's the book talking. Okay. And so basically, it'll be like near the beginning of the book, he's telling the backstory of when his father was alive and was like meeting his mother, and he sort of he starts with the story of like the dad's death, really. And then Benny cuts in and there's like a chapter from Benny and Benny's like, "Hey, you need to paint the full picture. People need to know how my parents met." And so then he goes back and he's like, okay, Benny, fine, it's your book, I'll tell that. And then like talks about his parents' sex life, and then Benny cuts in and is like, I don't want to hear that. So like that's how it's narrated by
God, I love that. That's really nice.
It's really clever. And part of the reason why I think this is a possible contender for the Women's Prize is because it comments on books. So like the book... well, sometimes in like the book's monologues where it's not telling Benny's story and he's just talking generally, he will comment on how like books don't ever get to make love. There'll be words in a book written about two people going to bed or whatever, but the actual book is flung to the side and falls onto the floor, and so they've never got to experience it. So like the book is a character in this, basically.
That is amazing.
Yeah, and so that's why I'm like, I mean, Women's Prize, like books.
Should we answer that question for each of the books that we go through?
Okay.
Why we think it was nominated for the Women's Prize.
Good one. Okay. I mean, there are definitely other reasons in this as well. There's also another book in here. So Benny's mum picks up a book that is essentially like Marie Kondo's book.
Okay. Yeah.
And so she begins to learn about like items that spark joy, and like her house is very... cluttered, and she wants to declutter it because she's grieving as well. She's having a really hard time, as is Benny, clearly. And so then there are extracts from the Marie Kondo-esque book. And so the book comments on that. He's like, I know it's kind of weird to have another book in a book, but it kind of relates to Benny's story.
I like that.
So yeah, I think if I'd read it, I wouldn't have
appreciated it as much.
I wouldn't definitely.
Do you think you'd have been confused?
Maybe, or I definitely would have maybe laugh as much as it would have. And like maybe on the book bits, I'd have been like, you know how I get with dreams.
Yeah, crack on. I'd have been need this bit.
Is it relevant to the story? So yeah, I think if you're thinking if you should read this, I would definitely recommend the audiobook.
And it was Borrow Box.
It was a really, really good listen. I really enjoyed listening to it.
You made me want to read it now.
Well, I have the book in my hands, but I have to record the audio. Yeah, see if it's on your Borrow Box, because it's linked to like your local library.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And we do know I've just joined my local
She's
library.
She's just joined a local library.
I'm so happy for myself.
So yeah, I'm really pleased that it was shortlisted.
I'm really pleased
for
you.
I wouldn't have read it otherwise.
Well, that's the pleasure of the shortlist,
exactly.
Isn't it?
Exactly. Okay, your go. What are you going to talk about?
Well, I am going to first talk about Elif Shafak, because we both know I'm busy mates with her.
And which one of her books is it?
I'm going to talk about The Island of Missing Trees. So I'll drop the snop quickly. Kostas, a Greek Cypriot, and Daphne, a Turkish Cypriot, meet as teenagers and fall into a forbidden love, one where their families would disown them for. The only place they can meet safely is a taverna under the trusting branches of a fig tree. But when war breaks out in the country, Kostas and Daphne are separated and don't meet again until decades later. And this is where their story can finally begin, back beneath their beloved fig tree. So
that sounds lovely.
It does, doesn't it? Firstly, I want to say it's a dual narrative, which we love. Secondly, I want to say the dual narrative is from the perspective of the fig tree.
Oh, it's like my book.
It is a little bit.
Oh my God.
There's a theme here.
Yeah.
And I bloody loved the chapters that were written from the perspective of the fig tree, because it's almost like this funny observer of everything that's going on in the book, and it observes on like the war, but it also observes on like Daphne and Kostas when they meet under the tree, and the like tree knows they're in love before that they do, and like the tree knows that it's dying because it's in a war zone.
Oh, okay,
and so it can feel that its body is starting to die, and you just sort of see the perspective of that. But then Kostas like Kostas takes like a snipping of the fig tree and then plants the fig tree in his garden when he moves to London. And so you then see the fig tree growing in London, but it also knows what's happening in...
God, that must be confusing to read.
Yeah.
Is it?
No, it wasn't at all, because like it just knows what's happening.
Right. Trees are wise like that.
Oh, they're so wise.
Luck could be like books.
So I loved it. It made it so unusual.
And I'm going to say the reason this is on the Women's Prize shortlist is because you read the blurb and you might be tempted to think that it's your traditional boy meets girl love story, but it's not at all. It's, I mean, Alicia Fack's work, if you've read any of her other books, you'd know that it's, there's so much going underneath the surface, and it's, you'd be silly to think that it was, yeah, you know.
Is this your favourite of hers? Because you've read a few.
Oh. I might, yeah, I mean, maybe? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, I love all her books. Like, it's very hard to pick a favourite because I just love her writing style. I know a lot of people don't like lots of descriptive language, and she does use a lot of descriptive language, but I fucking love that, so I was here for it. But yeah, I mean, it's way more than it seems, and it sort of switches between the 70s when Costas and Daphne meet initially, and then present day London where they are, you know, together again, and it flicks back and forth between the two.
So we've got dual narrator and dual timeline.
We've got that. And I can't remember if this part is a spoiler, so I'm not going to say it just in case. But the present day is also from the perspective of her daughter. Their daughter, sorry.
Oh, nice. Gosh, lots of narrators. And so, Lauren, you wanted to do this out of every book.
I just answered that.
That's it's why unique. You think. Okay.
Because it's unique and it's way more than what you think of it on the surface. Okay. I mean, you've got chapters written from the perspective of a tree, and it works.
It works.
Women's prize.
This tick, is very tick, tick. Interesting to see if one of these two wins.
Yeah.
Is that why? And why did they prefer the tree to the book, or vice versa?
Yeah. Let's get back to
exciting.
That.
Exciting. Okay. My go.
With us next.
I am going to do The Bread the Devil Need. And if you have listened to our interview with Kate Maxwell, which is our episode called Hush, this was one of the recos she gave at the end.
Yes.
And, you know, I said in that episode that I was going to read it because it was on the Women's Prize shortlist. And I read it on my recent holiday. And it is about...
Where she got engaged.
And it's about half the size of the Book of Form and Emptiness.
Yes, it is.
I physically read this one on a sunbed, and I read it in about 4 hours.
That means nothing to anybody else listening or me.
No, I'm not that fast, but it's because I, you know, didn't have anything
How
to
big
do.
Is the writing? How many pages?
We're 250 pages.
Okay.
Standard writing?
I don't know. It wouldn't be a 4.5 hour.
But when you've got nothing else to do.
Yeah, okay.
And it's about the writing that makes it really quick to read. So as Kate said, it's written in Trinidadian Creole, which is, after the first page, you'll be into it.
Yeah.
It's absolutely fine. And it's about a character called Alethea. She's about to turn 40. I'll read the synopsis. Fashionable, feisty, and fiercely independent, she manages a boutique in Port of Spain, but behind closed doors, she's covering up bruises from her abusive partner and seeking solace in an affair with her boss. When she witnesses a woman murdered by a jealous lover, the reality of her own future comes a little too close to home.
Sounds amazing.
It sounds really bleak, but it's really readable.
That sounds great.
Yeah, and she had a really difficult childhood as well. There are definitely content warnings in this.
Okay.
But yeah, you're just sort of reading, and like in modern day, she's clearly wounded from her past, but she doesn't come across as someone who, like, she's just like, yeah, look, he beats me sometimes. But, you know, he is really nice to me as well. And she's like very matter of fact about
Savage.
Things. And just like, she's like, these are the cards we've been dealt. We're just cracking
on. Do you think
on.
In a dangerous sense, would anybody reading that then think?
I don't think so, because she is her own character, and like,
okay.
She works in this shop and she's
as
got
the
a way
reader,
of doing
do you
things.
Know that what she what's happening to her is wrong?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And almost straight away, like a character she works with is like, I think she's like, oh, how did your bruise happen? She's like, oh, it was my birthday present from Leo whatever,
okay.
Or something like that. So I got the feeling that before this book, she wasn't open about it. And something must have switched where she just started telling people about it. And like the man she's having an affair with knows, but he's got his own wife. So it's not
what
like
do you
he
mean
can
before
just...
this book?
Well, you know, like I didn't know her before this book. you know? She's lived 39 years. I meet her at 40.
I see. Okay, so something happened when she turned 40.
Not necessarily, but like, you know, in this book, she tells her colleague, she's like, God, I can't believe I just said that. So I have to assume.
Oh, okay. In
her, you know, before this book, she wasn't really telling anyone, but she happens to tell people in this.
Yeah, I was just getting momentarily confused. Like, because of the other book and narrator.
Yeah, again, would not have read this if it wasn't shortlisted. Pleased I did. Very quick read, very poignant, very lots of great characters in it. Loved it. High reco.
Oh, okay.
And I guess, why would it be winning?
Yeah, tell us.
I guess because it's written in a different style to the other books. That's something. It's talked about a lot of important topics, so I think that's probably why.
Okay.
And the fact that it was enjoyable despite being heavy.
Not physically heavy, but emotionally heavy.
Light to hold, but packs a lot of weight.
Packs a punch.
Right, you're up. What are you talking about?
Okay, I'm talking about The Sentence by... Who's it by?
Louise Erdrich.
Erdrich. It's a tricky one.
especially after wine.
Do you notice we start to talk faster?
I think when I always talk fast.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so I'm going to drop the snot,
please.
A small indie bookstore in Minneapolis is haunted by the store's most annoying customer, Flora. Sorry, I'm just laughing that I didn't trip over the word Minneapolis.
Well done.
Thanks. Yes, so the store is haunted by the store's most annoying customer, Flora, who died on All Souls Day and simply won't leave. Tukey, who has landed a job selling books after years of incarceration, must solve the mystery of the haunting while at the same time trying to understand all that occurs in Minneapolis during... failed that time, didn't I? During a year of grief, astonishment, isolation and furious reckoning.
That sounds like a great plot. An annoying ghost? Fucking love it.
Let me tell you... This book has a part one and a part two.
Mm-hmm.
Part one, meh. Part two, oh my God, yes, it deserves
space.
Why do
they do it that way round?
I don't know.
Because that's risky. People might be like,
It's really risky. One. Yeah, yeah, exactly. I nearly did that. And I didn't.
We'll be able to talk about it in this episode, so thank you for persevering.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's very character-driven as opposed to plot-driven. I love that. You love that. Yeah. Not a lot of people. Not everybody loves that.
Yeah.
But I really liked getting to know the characters, and the opening of the book is like, it's just a bit of a rogue book, to be honest. Like, there's the opening is the main character, and her and her friend. What's the word? They move a dead body.
Okay.
And
I don't think there is a word for that.
Yeah, no. They like move this body, and she gets caught.
Oh.
And it turns out this dead body has like a ridiculous amount of cocaine stashed on them.
Oh.
And because they've moved the body cross borders.
Mm.
She gets caught, she goes to prison, and her friend lives scot-free.
America blows my mind.
Crazy.
That's crazy.
So she goes to prison and is incarcerated for a long time, and the police officer who actually arrested her is a childhood friend, and he catches her when she's in just a bar. And she didn't know that the body had drugs on her. And when she was arrested, she didn't know that the body had drugs on him. Sorry. And so she goes to prison. And when she's released, she gets back in touch with this guy. And they sort of rekindle.
And how does this relate to the annoying ghost?
Well, that's what I mean, Jessica. So we're like, what's going on here, right? We've got two storylines. But anyways, when she comes out of prison, she... meets up with the police officer, they move somewhere, she starts working in a bookshop. And that's the crux.
Crux.
It's the crust.
Crust is kind of nice, though.
No.
Well, you know, when you like have a pizza, the crust is really the what keeps the pizza together.
I was thinking more like crusty, you know, like crusty feet. So yeah, she works in this bookshop and it's haunted by Flora, who's a pain in the ass, basically. And it also, like, it's set during the coronavirus.
Oh.
So also, the bookshop has to
I haven't heard it called coronavirus in a long time. Because remember when it just transitioned to COVID-19 and we were just calling it coronavirus? Do you remember that?
It's a really good point.
At the time I remember being like, when did this happen? But well done you for bringing that back.
Did you know the 19 in COVID-19 is because...
2019?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Okay, everyone knew that. All right. she had... coronavirus. No, crazy. She didn't. It's set during coronavirus. And so the bookshop has to close. They are doing, like, it was very good in the sense that the author really touched on a moment in history where everyone was a bit uncertain. Like, can I...
Oh, are we calling it coronavirus or COVID-19? You know, so uncertain.
But to the extent of like, oh, this person wants to buy a book, but I've touched it. Can I give it to them? Mm. And that crazy period where we didn't know how transmutable the virus was. Transmissible the virus was. Jesus Christ. Well,
transfer also works. Like
sure. So touch on that really nicely. And also the George Floyd killing happened during... the novel as well. It
was very much a 2020 book.
It was 2020 in a nutshell, really, because the main characters are Indigenous and they are very in touch with their Indigenous upbringing and heritage, and the more the book progresses they want to get more and more want to go back to their roots more and more. And when the George Floyd killing happened in America, they were very close to it, so they felt they had to join the riots.
Right.
So they went to the riots, and so it touches on a lot, and you're kind of like, wow. But it also is like, what, 400 pages maybe? So, you know, you're covering a lot there.
And now I feel misled by the blurb. Is it a lying blurb?
Slightly.
I'm still hung up on Annoying Ghost.
Well, because
she doesn't feature that much.
She sort of peppers in and out, and like in Indigenous culture, you can't talk about ghosts. Like, it's really disrespectful.
Right.
So her husband finds it really disrespectful that she wants to talk about this ghost. Because he's like, no, once somebody has died, it's actually, you can't speak of the dead.
Yeah.
And it's unlucky. So it sort of plays that kind of role. But I was in it for like a ghost story and it's not a ghost story. Like, Flora's a pain in the ass and like she'll go into the bookstop shop and like fling some books around. And like one of the books that she makes fall to the floor is a book about floral shit. So
floral shit.
They're like, oh, Flora, floral. See what she did there?
God, she's so annoying.
What a dick. So yeah, like second half, much better than the first half, much quicker.
And so you think the second half is why it's shortlisted? Yeah,
100%, 100%. First half, meh.
Okay, good reco. You basically mean stick with it because it's worth it.
Stick with it, yeah.
Okay. Right, that's nearly the whole list.
Not quite.
Last book is Great Circle, which Lauren has already talked about.
Yes.
I don't know what episode. Was it our time travel one? Because it is a bit time travel-y. But I don't know. So what I've told Lauren she should do, because I'm so bossy, is just like drop a quick synop.
Yeah.
So that you can all be like, is this
for
me?
Oh, that's the one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, drop synop. Marion Graves was a daredevil all her life, from her wild childhood disguising herself as a boy and a bootlegger in Montana to daring wartime Spitfire missions. In 1950, she sets off on her ultimate adventure, the Great Circle, a flight around the globe she is never seen again. Wow, that was really blunt. She's never seen again. Half a century later, Hadley Baxter, a Hollywood actress, always mixed up in a scandal, is irresistibly drawn to play Marion Graves in the film adaptation of her diaries. This role will lead her to uncover the real mystery behind the vanished plot.
It does sound good.
Oh, mate, it is unbelievably good. And it's like £4.50 in Sainsbury's at the moment, so go, go, go.
Get to say no's, everyone.
Yeah, I think I already said my manager lent me this book and I read the blurb and I was like, maybe, maybe not. Read it and I was like, oh my God, thank God I read this because it was in my top 10 books last year.
Yeah, it was up for the Booker Prize as well.
Yes,
win, but it was up for it.
Yeah, definitely. It's 600 pages, so all I would say is don't let that put you off because you start reading it and I think about 200 pages in, I was like, God, I don't want this book to ever end.
Oh, I love that.
Ever. 500 pages in, I was like, no, I've only got 100 pages left. I don't want it to end. And I've seen a lot of people on stories recently who've started reading it say the same thing. Like, yeah. It's a hefty, it's a chunk of a book, but equally, it's an incredible storyline. I don't want it to finish.
Yeah. And now it's in paperback. You can take it away around with you in your handbag, but before it was like having a book.
Yeah, true. That is true.
Is that the horse you're backing for Women's Prize?
See, I'm sort of torn because I think my heart wants Great Circle to win.
Yeah.
My head thinks Sorrow and Bliss will win.
Do you know what though?
What?
I made a mockery of myself last
year. You made
a
mockery.
Because I was like, Vanishing Half has been so hyped, it's going to win. Because it's had all
you
that
make
hype for
valid
such a long time.
Point.
And then Piranesi just swooped out of nowhere and took the spot. And it was great and mind-blowing.
Yeah.
So I actually think I think same again. Everyone's going to be like, Sorry, I'm blessed. Because it's the most hyped out of all of these, I'd say.
Totally.
But I
In
don't
which
think
case,
it will win.
Do we back... The...
We can back separate ones. We can make a bet out of it.
Maybe this book narrator one will win.
That's what I'm thinking.
Are you?
I think because it's so different and like it is a book lover's book.
Yeah.
It does go on a bit in certain parts, but like on the whole, that's what I'm wondering. But also Alicia Fack with its interesting narrator.
Yeah.
But what are you putting in the ring to fight?
How about I put a leaf in, you put...
I put Book of Form and Emptiness in.
Okay, and we'll see who wins.
And we'll battle to the death.
Oh, I've changed my mind. I want to put Great Circle in.
Okay. Oh, yeah, because that's the one you want.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Gosh, all right.
And well, it's had less PR than Sorrow and Bliss. Like, Sorrow and Bliss is on billboards at the moment.
Wow.
They've gone all out with their marketing.
Yeah.
So I'm going to back Great Circle because I've on the basis that their marketing budget is smaller.
And I'm going for the book narrator.
All right. Okay.
Okay.
See you at the finish line.
Yeah, see you at the finish line, just a few hours away. We'll put everything in the show notes as always. We'll even put links to directly buy them from independent bookshops because we're good like that. Lauren is good like that. I don't do any of that. And we'll come back to you in a few. If you've listened to this early in the morning, then make sure you like follow the Women's Prize because they tend to do it sort of live on YouTube. That's how they've announced the longlist and the shortlist. It's very fun. My heart rate's very increased each time.
Oh, God, I'll be away. I'll be at an event on Wednesday,
you.
So you'll have to text me. And maybe we should do voting on stories as well.
Voting on stories to come.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, then like, subscribe, leave a rating and review. It costs you nothing, but it genuinely means the world to us.
And you could always share our podcast with your reading buddy too. And if you don't already, then follow us on Instagram @bookrecos for, funnily enough, more book recommendations.
See you next week.
We'll be here.